All right, folks. We're going to have a completely unscripted conversation about disclosure tonight. I've got Russell Kalka on the line. Did I pronounce your last name correct, Russell?
It's Kalka, but that's close enough. Sometimes people butcher
Kalka.
It.
Kalka. And I have an even harder last name with the next person, Lisa Galarno.
That was very close. Galarno. Thank you.
Galarno. Very good. Okay, so you guys are kind of trying to extend Stephen Bassett's PRG work, trying to get involved in the whole disclosure movement?
Yeah, I mean, that's very simplified, Mark. Yes, we are here to augment and to complement the work that PRG has done up to this point. I don't know if your guests or your audience, for that matter, are familiar or even yourself, but Steve is in the process of picking up and shuffling over to Europe for the greater part of 2017 to refocus his efforts on disclosure there, which leaves a serious problem here in the United States. It leaves a complete void of true ET disclosure activism. And we really don't have any groups in this country that are truly dedicated to that at this time. I mean, you have your MUFON folks, you have some other organizations about UFO, just, you know, like UFOs and researching UFOs, but none that are really taking the ball and working the disclosure angle. And at least from my side of the spectrum here, there have been, over the last 10 years, signs that have been given to the general populace that the people that want, or the people that in the Pentagon that hold the ET issue close to their chest, actually want disclosure and are keen to see the announcement made. It's been more prominent over the last 2.5 years. And it's, everyone's kind of gotten this piecemeal over the last 10 years. And our job at the disclosure activists, at least from that particular angle, is to kind of glue all of that together holistically to provide the public a real big snapshot of exactly what those circumstances are that have been laid out, or those hints. Activists as well, which Lisa can certainly talk about. But our inception started just right after Trump's inauguration speeches, as he alluded to something during that speech that was a sort of a nod to the truth embargo, as we all have coined the term. And so that's kind of our story on where we're going. It's not going to be a politically focused movement. It's a grassroots movement that is going to be more focused on a journalist-based approach, rallying the public together, who actually hold the key to this disclosure announcement, which will in turn allow the media to unleash the chokehold that they have by their editorial board, which in turn will allow the Pentagon to have the motivation that it needs to cut a deal with the White House to make a disclosure announcement.
How do you define disclosure?
That's a good question. So I think it's funny, right? I think disclosure has already happened. I think what we're chasing, I think what everybody in the world wants is confirmation by their governing bodies, i.e. the governments of each country, to acknowledge that, yes, an ET presence has been engaging the human race. Now, the issue with that, Mark, and I hate to use the word issue because it sounds negative, but it is an issue. Once that announcement is made, there is a lot of information that is wrapped into the ET issue. So there is going to be a lot of questions that are going to be asked, some of which they may not want to tell you, some of which they'll be happy to tell you. But something like that is going to take years and years and years to actually sort out. There's going to be reparations. There's going to be lawsuits that take place. So it's a very serious issue, probably, I mean, the biggest issue we've ever dealt with. But to answer your question, disclosure on itself is the acknowledgement by the whether it's the U.S. government, the Chilean government, the Japanese government, that you guys are all correct. What you saw for the past 70 years, at least 5 to 10% of that was an extraterrestrial presence. And we are here to tell you that tonight.
Do you think our government has disclosed the truth about 9/11 or the Vietnam War or the dangers of vaccines or hidden cancer cures or the moon landing hoax or the Kennedy assassination or all of these other important social issues?
No, I think that's a good, you know, I see where you're going with this.
Since they've lied to us about everything else, why do we want to go back to the government to get more lies?
Well, so we're not going to the government to get lies. And to answer your question, there actually has been, again, a lot of leaks that have happened over 9/11, the Kennedy assassination, and all of those other incidents that have happened. And actually, it was just, I think it was last year, that the government is admitting that the Saudis have some kind of connection to 9/11. Well, that's great. You know, that was something that was covered up for a while, but now they're slowly starting to bring things out. Now, if they were to tell you that we were complicit in terms of, i.e., some elements of the American government or even rogue elements of, you're probably not going to hear that for quite some time. But going to know, and I think the general populace already knows, that there's way too much evidence out there in the public domain, whether it's whistleblower accounts, leaked documents that have been authenticated, i.e. the Rockefeller Initiative documents that Grant Cameron got from the Office of Science and Technology Policy, to the CIA doing an about face and throwing documents out there, to Steve Bassett getting a text by someone in military intelligence that they're ready to do the disclosure announcement. I mean, they're, all of these things add up to the fact that they want this off their chest. They've been holding it for too long. And they're just, they don't want to keep getting caught with their pants down and getting caught in lies. The problem, Mark, is that the Pentagon cannot disclose on their own. It's considered high treason. The only way that a disclosure announcement can happen is if a current acting head of state, i.e. the president of the United States in this country, has to make the announcement. But the president cannot make that announcement unless the Pentagon, who has this information and knowledge and resources, actually tells the president, we're court you to do that announcement. So it's kind of a chess game, as you probably heard from Steve Bassett. The key to unlocking this, the key to moving this along, just like any activist movement out there, whether it be beating animals at a zoo, you know, which is a story that just came out, any activist movement there has to be driven by the public. And that harks me back to a statement that was made by a UFO film producer. You might remember his, James Fox. And James Fox, who produced two movies, one was Out of the Blue, and the second follow-up was I Know What I Saw. And when he produced Out of the Blue, Mark, he got them made on DVD. And he went to go knock on all of the members of the House of Representatives on the Hill in the Beltway in Washington, D.C. And the goal there was to hand out all the DVDs and create this administration, or assemble this administration, to look into the UFO matter. But there was an interesting quote that he said that drives this public, public to, get into the ET issue. And that was, is that he had a chat with every chief of staff of members of the House. And some of those chief of staff knew certain things about the ET issue, probably basic stuff, and most of them didn't, just like your average Joe on the street. But one of those people that he talked to said, and I quote this, look, we cannot touch this subject unless the general public, our constituents, force us to do it. And only then can we actually assemble the administration to look into it. And there's never been a high demand by the public to drive that. And that's part and parcel to the fact that some of them don't believe it. Some of them are on the fence. So we're not here to convince people of the UFO community. The people of the UFO community are already convinced. Have no knowledge of this that we need to talk to. And so that's where part of what we're going to do on our strategy for the disclosure activists that we actually just created not that long ago. In fact, I think I might have sent it to you, is what's called our DASAC, which is the Disclosure Activists Strategic Alliance Council. And the goal there was to bring different people that have either been involved in this issue before or haven't been involved at all and are your regular Joes who believe that disclosure is the only thing that will save this species and save this planet. And we are going to use that council, Mark, to drive ideation and creation from a collaborative effort to, again, drive different grassroots movements.
Yeah, I actually have one more thing I want to say. You know, Trump is a unique opportunity as far as disclosure goes. So I'm not a Trump supporter, but I have, of course, been, you know, watching this all unfold. And the thing that's interesting about this need for acknowledgement from a current head of state, someone like President Trump, is that in a lot of cases it hasn't come because those heads of state have worked in government previously, often for decades, in the countries they represent, which means that they are complicit in all of the kinds of cover-ups that you were talking about a few minutes ago, Mark. You know, things like, you know, the 9/11 cover-up and those sorts of things. Trump, however, hasn't worked in government before, and he's in a unique position to sort of be the hero in a way, by kind of digging into some of these issues. You know, presidents have the ability to reclassify any documents they want, you know, if Trump has the knowledge that those things exist. And, you know, even tonight, NASA was just talking earlier that he plans to talk in his State of the Union, I guess they're calling it, this evening, about the possibilities in space. You know, he's a businessman. The defense spending budgets. So in that case, it makes it very clear that, you know, he's concerned about security. Certainly his base is concerned about security and tends to be a bit xenophobic in some ways. And I can see him trying to deflect attention away from some of the things that are probably irritating the hell out of them at this point, you know, by focusing on this gargantuan issue with this huge scandal that Trump has nothing to do with. But he's the hero that tells us all, look, this is what's really happening, and look, I'm going to fix the problem.
One of the most important people I think that's come forward is a man named Dr. Herman Oberth, who was Von Braun's mentor. And he said in a public meeting in the 1970s, he said that we, the Germans, cannot take credit for our technological advance alone because we have been helped by people of other worlds. Now, not only was this in a public meeting, but it was recorded. So this is just an example of the kind of information that has come out. So where I'm at is I don't really need a head of state to tell me about the reality of extraterrestrial contact. It's just, to me, the true disclosure movement occurs from the bottom up. It's a grassroots kind of thing. So I don't, you know, I don't think I'm a Trump fan. I voted for Trump, but I don't think he knows anything about it.
Yeah, but to your point, you, me, Lisa, and plenty of other people out there don't need disclosure, right? We have already had our own disclosure. But there's 7 billion people in the world. I think the people that are convinced that of those 7 billion is a small percentage. I think that there's a lot of people that are interested in this topic, have not had an experience, such as an experiencer. I have not had an experience myself firsthand. I've had family members that have. Those are the people that we need to talk to. Those are the people that need to hear, you know, that, and that's just the way society works, right, Mark? I mean, you have a government that is supposed to be transparent and supposed to be opened, and they're not. And unfortunately, that's the way it's worked. And I think that what people just want to hear from their government is that everything that you do believe in is actually true. We're going to admit that to you. And I think that they need to rectify the situations that they've been in, and they need to backtrack and start telling the truth. This is the ultimate truth, right? And they're starting to do that. And I don't know if you know this, but aside from this whole timeline that I'm talking about, it was just very recently, only during President, or I should say Mrs. Clinton's presidential campaign, Mark, we have an organization called WikiLeaks. And WikiLeaks, if it wasn't for them, half this stuff we wouldn't even be privy to. But they, you know, they Podesta's emails, as you know, get broken into. I think the Russians was a whole smoke and mirror. I don't think the Russians had anything to do with it.
Right.
But I, and to be honest with you, I suspect that there were Americans behind that.
Sure.
But during those Podesta leaks, there was probably about a little over a dozen emails that came out. And what I've done tonight, and I want to read them to you because I, you know, and I'm going to want to have your audience at some point listen to this, is that there are three people in these emails that got leaked out. So what we know is Tom DeLonge from Blink-182 had left Blink-182 to pursue his passion in finding out the truth about the UFO issue, or as we refer to it today, the UAP issue, the unidentified aerial phenomenon. And I think the phenomenon also needs a new nomenclature, obviously, because we're going to be speaking to millennials and different people that are going to be growing up into this. The point of that is Tom DeLonge was given an advisory team of 10 people to advise him on how to get this out. So in terms of a narrative, right? And he's going to be writing books. One of them already came out called Secret Machines. There's going to be a couple others, plus a mini series and a documentary. And that's how he plans to appeal to the millennial and Generation Z audience. But the first email that I want to read here, the subject is called Tom DeLonge here. And it's on September 24th, 2015 at 4:29 p.m. And it's from Tom DeLonge to John Podesta. And I just want to preface something here. John Podesta, maybe not now, but for the tenure that he's had, is a very important man. He's basically, he was the center of all power in Washington. He may still be, I don't know. And he's a very well-connected man. And it was John Podesta, if you recall, Mark, that came out in 2002 at the National Press Club and called for the release of the UFO files. And he did it again the following year in 2003. Now, when John Podesta says something, the media should probably perk their ears up and listen, because it's probably telling you something you want to hear. And then, of course, in 2015, he makes that tweet that was heard around the galaxy about, you know, he couldn't get the disclosure of the UFO files under Obama. Hashtag the truth is still out there. And then he CCs Maureen Dowd in the New York Times, which is pretty significant because Dowd writes in 1997 a story about the Air Force's official investigation of Roswell, and she thought that was flawed. And Maureen is a very, very hardened, accomplished journalist at the New York Times. And then, of course, once more, Podesta comes out in 2015, and he tweets to Lena Dunham, who interviewed Hillary Clinton, and says, Lena, great job on the interview, but you probably should have asked her about aliens. Do it next time. I mean, this is unprecedented stuff. So anyway, Tom DeLonge writes an email to John Podesta, because Tom DeLonge interviewed John Podesta for his trailer and movie documentary Secret Machines. And he writes this, Mark. He says, I received your email address from your assistant, as from time to time I would like to get you information that is not appropriate for others to see. And here is one of those times. The ranking general on my committee has some ideas for a memo that would help provide context for his and the other officers' work on this subject. And he basically lays out the memo that the general writes to him on how disclosure should happen for this project. And it says this. I was thinking a bit more about what a White House memo should say. Something like these points to all federal agencies. Bullet number one, in light of the president's policy on STEM, citing official policy encouraging the study of science, technology, engineering, and math. Here, from a propulsion standpoint, and how we build them, right? That's the technology and the engineering. Then he goes on to say, you should probably give some background on your project as well, you know, referencing Secret Machines and what you want to do. Then the general writes, the administration encourages a favorable public affairs position by all agencies, appoints NASA to lead. This kind of public outreach is in NASA's job jar, and if no agency is appointed, all will simply note and file the memo and likely do nothing. And then the final bullet, Mark, says, and you probably should coordinate with the Department of Defense, the Department of National Intelligence, and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, the NOAA, who are the other major space actors putting a bit of light on them, to show them that there's a goodwill behind them and that they want to do this. So you might be asking yourself, well, who's the general that they're talking about? His name is General, I think it was Brigadier General, correct me if I'm wrong, William Neil McCasland. Now, you may not be aware of this, but General McCasland, up until a couple of years ago, was the commander of the Air Force Research Laboratory at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Ohio, where allegedly, because we don't have the proof, the hard proof of it, but I believe it, that the alien bodies from Roswell were shipped post-crash. So here now, Tom DeLonge, on January 25th of 2016, writes to John Podesta to introduce to him General Neil McCasland. And this is what he writes. He mentioned he's a skeptic. And Mark, I will tell you that skeptic is in quotes. But he's not a skeptic. I've been working with him for 4 months. I just got done giving him a 4-hour presentation on the entire project a few weeks ago. Trust me, the advice has already been happening on how to do all of this. He just has to say that he's a skeptic out loud, but he is a very, very well-aware man, as he was in charge of all of the stuff. Then DeLonge actually goes on to say, when Roswell crashed, they shipped it to the laboratory at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. General McCasland was in charge of that exact laboratory up to a couple years ago. He not only knows what I'm trying to achieve, he helped assemble my advisory team. He's a very important man. Best, Tom DeLonge. So that email outs General Neil McCasland. It gets even better, Mark. Then we have an email from John Podesta to General Neil McCasland and a couple of other people as well. From 10:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m., there was a meeting invite that was sent out by Podesta to all of these people, including Tom DeLonge. So we know that a meeting took place with these high-level people. So you already know who Tom DeLonge is, you already know John Podesta, and you already know Neil McCasland. The other two people is Michael Carey. And Michael Carey is the special assistant, or was the special assistant, to the commander of U.S. Space Command. He's also the guy that wrote the foreword to Tom DeLonge's Secret Machines book, which came out last year. And the third guy, which to me was the most explosive out of all of this, was Robert F. Weiss. And Robert Weiss, today, currently, if you even look at him on LinkedIn, is the current executive vice president and general manager at Lockheed Martin Skunk Works. Now, Lockheed Martin is the largest defense contractor in the world. But what's interesting is that Skunk Works is the secret arm of Lockheed. They're the ones that built the SR-71 Blackbird for the CIA. And they're also the one that apparently reverse-engineered E.T. crafts. So here you have a guy. And also, by the way, we know that the CIA contracted Lockheed Martin Skunk Works to practically build Area 51. So here you have the guy that's in charge of a secret advanced programs at Area 51, also on this meeting invite. And even better than that is that on February 22nd of 2016 at 12:06 in the morning, Rob Weiss from Lockheed Skunk Works actually emails Tom DeLonge asking for an update on the project. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. This is unreal. And why the media is not reporting on this is bizarre. And what I can tell you is that I had the privilege of meeting with three. Well, let me just backtrack. I had the privilege of meeting with one and speaking to two, so a total of three Pulitzer Prize journalists from the New York Times. One of those guys has been with the Times for 20 years. I went there in New York City where I happen to reside. And I walked into the Times building and I sat with him for 30 minutes and I showed him documents that convinced him this was all real. And he was so convinced that he followed up with us for our Q&A, because he was very serious about doing some kind of, you know, journalist piece on the Rockefeller Initiative and interviewing some of those private citizen principals that were involved. He ended up going away. I don't know what happened to him. The other woman, who's part of the New York Times, tried to interview John Podesta, but Podesta rejected her. And he rejected her because Podesta was never going to talk in the first place. What this journalist should have done is they should have approached Clinton, which is what Podesta was trying to do. And the third guy has been retired from the Times, and he's in the middle of writing a book about John Mack as we speak, which should be out hopefully in the next couple of months. So there is interest at the highest levels at an institution like the New York Times to talk about this. The problem is the public's not asking for it. Because the public is half the public is uneducated about this issue. They don't know about it. And when they do know about it, it's about little green men and tinfoil wearing hats. And we have to get out of the echo chamber, as Lisa would say, and make them aware that this is the only issue that is going to solve in time down the road all problems. Religious. I mean, disclosure will take care of all of that. So the reason I read you those emails is because there is a keen understanding at the Pentagon that they're really trying to get this out, but they do not want their fingerprints all over it. So they need the public to help. That's what we're trying to do, and hopefully we will be successful in at least trying to get it one step further than what Steve has.
Okay, let me step back a little bit. And let's head back to the Kennedy assassination analogy. Let's say that you and I, we've done a lot of research concerning the Kennedy assassination, and we have two very strong suspects. We think Lyndon Johnson and Alan Dulles, the head of the CIA at that time, were heavily involved in the Kennedy assassination, and we've got all this evidence that's piled up, and you and I are investigators. If we went and asked Lyndon Johnson, were you involved in the Kennedy assassination? What do you think he would tell us?
Well, I think he'll tell you that that's not the case, unless he had some sort of dementia and he actually admitted to it. But we're talking about two different things. We're talking about someone being complicit in murder, and I'm talking a president of the United States complicit in murder.
Don't you think that there have been many, many people murdered to cover this up?
Absolutely, but they haven't been murdered in a long time. They don't. Okay. They don't do that anymore. But the point there is,
they don't do that anymore, do they?
No, okay. I don't think. I don't think, and I've spoken to people that have been involved in this subject for a while, and we have come to the consensus that they are not knocking people off for this particular instance anymore. And the reason they're not doing it is because, from what I understand, there has been, let's just call it a change of heart, if you will.
Well, let's talk a little bit about John Podesta, because I think there's strong evidence that John Podesta is a pedophile, and he's heavily involved in this pedophilia ring, this whole Pizzagate thing. And I know he's also involved in some of these satanic rituals that came out. And so I would not want to be associated with John Podesta in any way, and I certainly wouldn't go to him to try to get any kind of truth. So this is where I'm coming from with all of this. You can't go to the government. You can't go to the most corrupt people on the planet and expect honesty about this subject, especially when a lot of them are probably implicated in some way.
Yeah, but John Podesta is a small cog in a large machine. John Podesta's role in all of this, and this dates back again, and I'm not going to comment on the Pizzagate stuff because, quite frankly, I didn't look into it, so I can't start to speculate. I know there's things that are floating out there, some videos, some FBI symbols.
Do you know who Jeffrey Epstein is?
I do, yes. And I've heard about the Clintons going on his plane and flying to this island. But that's not my... that's not my purview. This whole Pizzagate thing, someone else can discover that and link it.
What I'm trying to say is the people that you're talking about to get to comment on disclosure are criminals.
Not all of them. And that's the problem. There is a stereotype that is floating around this country that all government is bad. While I agree that some government is corrupt, and government encompasses a lot of people, Mark, there are good men and women out there in our intelligence agencies that want to see us go down a better path. Those are the people that are trying to set things straight.
Let me read something from one of Dr. Stephen Greer's books. He says, I came to realize that the government of the United States and every other nation was really hostage to an illegal rogue group that had technologies that could do circles around the B-2 stealth bomber and could at will terminate a president or any other person that got in their way. This is what we're dealing with here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think that's the case anymore.
They just went away?
I think that if you talk about this group of rogue people, you're probably referring to something like a Majestic 12, right? Majestic 12 started out many years ago. It was 12 people. It's probably grown since then. People have died off, of course, I'm sure. People do age and they die. And new people get indoctrinated, right? So that has happened that said they want to get this out and they want to do it slowly. Now, when Steve Bassett, who I respect wholeheartedly and who supports our movement, and actually an article was just written, he had something very nice to say about us. He's built a lot of relationships over the last 20 plus years, right? I think we could agree on that. When Steve gets an encrypted text message on the Signal app from someone that is known to him and he trusts, and this person sits at the Pentagon in military intelligence, and this person is...
Why does that matter?
I'll tell you why it matters.
I mean, I tell you what, if you do enough research in this field, I've got a library of books in this room. My whole wall here is a bookshelf. I haven't counted them in a while. There's probably 400 books here. If you read all of these books, you're going to know you don't need to go to your government. The government, generally speaking, needs to be educated on this subject. And that's what happened in the citizens' disclosure thing that Bassett just did. Those people from the government that they had there had no idea any of this was going on.
Well, I think there were a couple of them that actually said that they had an idea. They just weren't fully aware of all of the surrounding evidence, such as the Rockefeller Initiative. I think those people, I can't forget his name escapes me. He has, he's an old gentleman.
Gravel?
Yeah, and Mike Gravel, I think, is the one that said, I'm aware that there's something going on. I don't know the full encompassing nature of it. But Mark, to answer your question, you do need to go to the government.
And I don't need to go to the government.
You don't.
The government is a cesspool, and we finally got a good man in there that's going to clean the damn thing up. He's going to drain the swamp.
To me,
we need to drain the damn swamp. We don't need to go ask the people in the swamp what the truth is. We need to kick their ass out.
But look,
come on, man. This is just absolute.
I understand what you're saying.
You've got to think logically about this.
And I am. And I think when you look at the entire timeline of everything...
How long have you been studying this issue?
Since I was 8 or 9 years old.
Well, have you read any of the Meyer books?
Yeah, I've read Meyer books, but everyone...
Tell me,
which
one of the Meyer books have you read?
Well, I don't have something handy on me now.
So you don't remember?
I don't remember the exact name of the book, but I've read about Billy Meyer. I know his story.
Okay. Billy has written 40 books. Most people don't know that.
I read his book, Message from the Pleiades. That's the only one that I think I've read. But the point I'm trying to make is that he's one guy. There are multiple different angles coming at this from multiple different scenarios. One guy says he knows this. Another person said he knows that. Another person said he is an insider. Another person said he knows this. That's a problem. Right? There's a lot of disparity.
I don't think it's a problem. I think if you went back... Order a book like The Psyche, order a book like The Might of Thoughts or The Way to Live or The Goblet of Truth, and read some of the Meyer information.
I hear what you're saying, but a Meyer is only one contactee.
You'll learn the whole history of the Earth, our solar system, where the human race started in our galaxy. You'll learn how to live your life, you'll learn the purpose of your life. You'll learn about the difference between the material consciousness and the spiritual consciousness. You'll learn about how reincarnation works. You'll learn about the creational natural laws, which teach us how to live on our planet to keep from destroying our planet. If the government came out tomorrow and got on TV and admitted that the Roswell incident was real, it wouldn't do us a lick of good.
Yes,
Mark,
it would.
Mark, I'm going to interject here. So
it would do us no good, because what this planet needs is an understanding of these creational natural laws which govern our universe.
The only way they're going to get that creation is if disclosure happens. It's the only way it'll work.
It's not going to come. That's why I no longer study things like the Roswell event. Because it's only going to tell you so much. It's going to tell you that ETs exist. And that's about it. That doesn't do us any good.
I have something to say. So I'm an experiencer myself. I'm a Pleiadian contactee. I'm immensely familiar with a lot of the things that you were just mentioning. And what I will say is that from my point of view, a lot of our efforts as far as disclosure goes is about education, and it's about educating the public, and it's also about educating people in government. The situation we have at this time is that we apparently have benevolent extraterrestrials on our doorstep, essentially, excuse me, who are ready to get involved in our situation in a manner which could be called a humanitarian intervention. It's absolutely what we need at this time. We need advanced races who have been through the troubles that we've been through to help guide us towards a future that's more productive and prosperous and all of these things for everyone. And that is where I think the important bits about, excuse me again, about disclosure and getting this information out of this echo chamber of people who know it intimately versus the people that we have who are still thinking little green men. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to start coughing.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. My frustration is our government is incredibly corrupt. It's been corrupt since, 50, 60 years ago. I think we finally got an honest man in there. They'll probably do to him what they did to Kennedy. I have no interest in going to the government. If John Podesta called me up today and wanted to tell me about ETs, I would say, John, I'm just not interested. I'm sorry.
Because he's preaching to the wrong person. John Podesta, again, I don't care about John Podesta. John Podesta.
If Hillary Clinton called me tomorrow to talk about ETs, I would say, Hillary, I'm sorry.
No, but she's preaching to the wrong person. You already know.
No. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is these are not the people that you want to be talking about this subject.
But that's the president.
They're going to give
United
you spin States, and falsehood. That's all they're going to give you.
But I don't care about that. Let them spin it. All they need to do is just come to the podium and say, we are acknowledging that there is an extraterrestrial presence. That's all I care about.
I just read you Dr. Herman Oberth and what he had to say. That's a mainstream scientist. That's the mentor of Wernher von Braun.
You're absolutely right. But
why do I need
Hillary
Clinton or John Podesta?
Because times have changed, Mark. That was a long time ago, and the CIA and all the Alphabet City agencies used a lot of disinformation and a lot of discrediting to bury that and say it was all BS. Now times are different. Now what you are seeing is a concerted effort by those that hold this issue to say, you know what? Maybe it is time now to start telling the truth. Now, we might start telling it in our own narrative, which harks back to your idea about they're going to twist it and they're going to turn it. But I don't really care how they twist or turn it. When you have a guy that sits under the unacknowledged special access programs, as you would hear from Dr. Greer, that texts Steve Bassett and says, we are ready to disclose. We want to do this. And we want this done under Obama. Now, this person didn't say we wouldn't do it under Trump. And I actually happen to believe that Trump was read into this. at the beginning of the year. Now, I think Trump was given something very minute, Mr. President.
And probably.
Yeah. Mr. President, there's ETs, but that's all we're going to tell you.
Yeah, exactly.
The point I'm trying to make is that I'm not appealing to the UFO community to say, guys, come on, there's ETs. They already know that. This 5 billion other people on this planet that really don't know about it and still think little green men, because that's what NASA says or denies for that matter. We need to make them aware that there are circumstances in play with Tom DeLonge, with the CIA. And that's another thing, Mark. You have the Central Intelligence Agency, one of the most clandestine agencies, right?
Corrupt agencies.
And one of the most, but there are good people in the CIA that actually exist. They're not all corrupt. I would say maybe 90% of them. But the point is that this is an agency that for the longest time have discredited people like Bob Lazar, have discredited people, let's say, like Billy Meyer, and other people that have been intimately involved in this subject. And all of a sudden, last year, on January 2016, for the very first time in the CIA's tenure, in their history, tweets out when the X-Files returns to the television, they align themselves with the X-Files and tweet out, hey, here's 10 documents for you guys to look at. Now, they weren't smoking gun documents, but it was still an about face on what they used to do. And then 2 days before Trump, or 2 days before Obama leaves office, the CIA again drops 13 million documents, previously declassified documents, on the web, talking about, you know, Uri Geller and ESP and how they really believed in that stuff, and they signed Uri Geller on to do the secret stuff, and then they dropped 2,500 documents on UFOs. I mean, this is real stuff. This is trying to tell people that, you know what, we're going to start changing ways a little bit, piecemeal at a time, slow at a time. We're not going to give you full disclosure. Full disclosure is not going to happen. It just won't happen. There's too much that encompasses this issue. There's too much wrapped around it. It's a very, very complex issue, probably the most complex of all time. What we want and what we are close to is just for our government to come out when that situation is created that says, yeah, you guys are right all along. It's we had this. We had to cover it up. Or we had to embargo it because we had no idea what the hell we were dealing with back in 1947. Yeah, Roswell happened. We have ET bodies. Over the years, we tried to learn everything we possibly could about these species that we were interacting with, how their propulsion worked. You know, there were some sinister things we might have done that we did that was wrong. We apologize. They may not even take it that far. All I'm saying is that we just want them to just tell us the damn truth. And they're close to doing it.
Again, let me quote from Dr. Greer's book. And I think a friend of Bill Clinton once came to Dr. Greer's home and said the following: yes, everyone agrees with what you're trying to do, meaning disclosing the issue of ET contact. But there's a consensus that if the president and the CIA director exert enough power to get inside this operation and disclose it, that the president will end up like Jack Kennedy.
Right. It's the same thing that happened to Bill Colby, who tried to give Dr. Greer $50 million, and he was found floating face down in the Potomac River because he drowned in a canoe. Blah, exactly. Blah, blah. Right. I totally see what you're saying. But you have to look at when the last time they knocked somebody off for something like this. It was years and years and years ago, probably a decade ago.
But that's just 10 years.
Those
are people
years,
we know of. How many people have been killed that we don't know of?
Well, how come they never killed Steve Bassett? How come they never killed Grant Cameron?
Maybe they're not on the right track. I mean, no. Let me put it this way. If someone is publicly saying we've got to listen to the government about disclosure, why would the government kill that person?
It's the same reason why they threw what's his face out of a window. Who's the Secretary of Defense that they threw out of Naval Bethesda Hospital?
In other words, what I'm saying, Stephen Bassett is being their spokesperson.
And what about Dr. Greer?
Well, Dr. Greer is saying, look, they're going to kill the president if he comes out and tries to get to the bottom of this. That's all Greer is saying.
Well, look at Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton. They tried to get to the bottom of it.
They only went so far and then they stopped.
Because they got stonewalled.
Yeah, they did. They would.
But at the end of the day, I think times have changed. I think a decision has been made. Whether Steve is their spokesperson or not, at least they're saying to Steve, can you create a situation where the press can approach it? See, the thing is, the presidents aren't read into this, right? Grant Cameron thinks they are. You know, Grant Cameron thinks that the presidents are the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
Steve Bassett, and I respect Grant because Grant's done a lot in this. But I also respect Steve, and Steve doesn't think that the presidents aren't briefed at all. I personally happen to sit in the middle of the both of them. I think some presidents are not read in one iota, and I think some presidents are given something just very, very basic.
Maybe yes, Eisenhower knew.
I think Eisenhower absolutely knew, and Eisenhower threatened to bring the U.S. Army into Area 51. And you know what? They gave him the access to it. Mm-hmm. So there you go. So there you have a president who actually put his foot down and said, you're going to give this to me or I'm going to bring in the army. Okay, mm-hmm. Mr. President, here you go.
But so I think most of what's known is now considered military secrets.
I agree with you. I think that
you only know if you, quote unquote, have a need to know, and they determine if you have a need to know.
Right. And that group that determines that. So here's an interesting analogy for you, right? So you say that Steve Bassett is their spokesperson.
Well, no. I'm not saying that he is willfully knowing that he is their spokesperson. I'm saying they have no reason to knock him off because he's going to them as the authority. What I'm trying to say is we put the whole disclosure movement in a very vulnerable situation when we go to these people and try to get and hold them as the authority for this information. And I don't think we have to do that anymore. But there's enough information out there that we can read the information and sift through it on our own decisions.
Yes.
And that's what we should be doing.
But we're not. And the issue is
I am.
You are not the average Joe. You're not the guy
average
walking
Joe's
down.
Not ready for this information.
They are. I think the world is ready. I think there are a lot of people. Look, I think the issue lies in the fact that, so what if there's aliens, right? So let's say they come out and they say, I think the issue is we need confirmation, but that confirmation of disclosure is going to bring on a new revolution, a new age of humanity.
Why do we need confirmation?
Because
I don't mean it. We're just talking over the top of you. At least you're trying.
No, you guys are fine. I mean, what I would say is the reason why we need confirmation is because we need open contact. You know,
I don't think we're going to have open contact just because we have confirmation from the government. I think we don't have open contact right now for a lot of different reasons. And it has a lot to do with our level of evolution.
Well, it does. But there are also a number of different ET races engaging our planet at this time, and a lot of this focus and a lot of the problems with disclosure and the military secrets and all of these kinds of things is because there have been aspects of our governments that have been complicit, you know, with certain things, including, say, the abduction phenomenon. And once you sort of open that door and make that acknowledgement, reparations and God knows what. And so what I find unfortunate, though, is that so much of the attention ends up being focused on all of that whole world of, you know, crashed vehicles and reverse engineering technologies and alien bodies and all of that, when the story is actually much bigger and much more exciting than that.
Oh, it is. And it goes back to our ancient history.
It does. Absolutely. And so I guess, you know, as an experiencer myself, that's where I'm coming from when it comes to disclosure. To me, you know, my remit, you know, my mission, if you will, is to help prepare humanity, you know, for.
So let's walk through this. Let's say that tomorrow Trump says he gets on, you know, YouTube or whatever, and he says, look, I have to tell you something. There are extraterrestrial intelligences out there. I can't tell you much more than that, and that's all I can say for now. So when that is done, how does that really help us?
Well, then we start asking the questions, who are they, and what do they want? And
what propulsion systems were they using to get here all along? How come you guys never told us about them when we've been wasting money to send people in space on rocket ships?
So now you're saying the real information doesn't come until post-disclosure.
Correct. It never will come until post-disclosure.
So it's not the disclosure itself that you need. It's all that other information.
Correct.
And what I'm saying is a lot of all that other information is already out there.
It's being pitched and absorbed by a limited audience. And when we have a planet of people who are suffering to the degree that a lot of humanity is suffering, you know, we need to be able to reach out to galactic neighbors who have technologies they might be able to use to aid us, and who have figured out the mechanics of an advanced civilization, and, you know, learning to avoid war and violence and scarcity and, you know, corruption, all these sorts of things. You know, that we see it as the sort of gateway into that other world, which is us as galactic citizens.
Is our problem on the Earth that we don't have enough advanced technology? Is that our problem? Or is our problem more of a social, spiritual problem?
It's both.
It's both. It's both.
So,
it's absolutely both.
So, if they release free energy tomorrow, is that going to solve our problems?
Look, I've worked in the technology industry for 25 years, and I can tell you no. You know, building a technology and then seeing, you know, how is it used? What are the unintended consequences? All of those kinds of things don't work. But when you have civilizations who not only have these technologies, but they also have the advanced intellect and spiritual inclinations, you know, to look at the ethics and ramifications of those technologies, then that whole package deal, that entire equation becomes extremely valuable to a civilization like ours that, you know, we don't know where we're headed. I mean, it's not looking good.
No, it's not looking good at all.
Look, I think the technology aspect of it, just chime in there, I think it world will take years to sort out, and I mean years, could be 10-20 years, but during that time there's going to be some chaos, there's going to be some upheavals because of all the lying that's been happening, but in the end it will all settle down. And Richard Dolan talks about it in his book with Bryce, I think it was Bryce Hartley, After Disclosure, and Dr. Greer talks about it, you know, how disclosure is a $600 trillion issue because you have to think about all the free energy and the coal and the oil. All that stuff's going to take time, but it will help us transcend to the next stage of our evolutionary process. And consciousness, I'm convinced consciousness is connected to all of this. And there's a plenty of people on this planet that aren't in tune with that consciousness yet. But could you imagine if someone came out and said, yes, this is all real, like you said, Mark, that's all we're going to tell you. There's going to be a lot of people out there that go, holy shit, I cannot believe this. They're going to start rethinking their lives in a certain aspect. There's going to be a lot of things that are going to happen. I mean, it's a big issue. Or people in Slovakia, or people in Romania, or people in the rural hills of China somewhere. The reason why they need confirmation is it's just the way society works. We are governed by a governing body. It's happened when the Romans were in. That's where the government comes from.
I guess what I'm trying to say is we need to change the way our society works. We don't need to try to go to a corrupt government to give us the truth on such an important issue. We need to use our own discernment and have personal responsibility and to go out there and do our own research and make our own decisions. We don't need the government to be our mother and father anymore. The problem is that they have been doing that, and that's why we have such a mess.
They've been doing it, but at the same time, you have the voice of this country is not just the people, it's the media, Mark, and it's the media that has been making such a joke. Trying to do is not go directly to the government. We're trying to get the media off their asses to report on something they should have been reporting on truthfully for the last 70 years. I'm talking about real investigative journalism, not Bill Maher or Jimmy Kimmel or somebody coming on TV and making some sort of a joke about it. Right. I will tell you that Bill Clinton and Obama appearing on those shows and talking about it is pretty spectacular. But we need guys like what's his name, Ben Hansen, who shut down his Twitter feed because of Pizzagate. We need real investigative journalism to talk and question the government. What do you guys know? What have you been hiding from us? What the hell is going on? That is the situation that needs to be created for the government to then just come clean about it. I think we need to see if we are going to – I agree. Time, right? So in the interim, what we're trying to do is get the media to start talking. And if the media can start talking and reporting on this, somebody like a Maureen Dowd or somebody like, I don't know, who's that guy from the – or the Jennifer Harper from the Washington Times. If they start truly digging into this in real life and not some joking nonsense, then the government, all they have to do is just come clean to the – let's just say this. There's 330 million Americans in this country, Mark, right? Let's do math for a second. In all honesty, how many – what's the percentage of people out of 330 million Americans do you think is truly convinced already of an ET issue?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. I just don't – I don't look at it that way.
But you have to
because – I don't think it's important. That's why I don't look at it that way.
Well, it's about the tipping point, really. And, I mean, this is you know, where we're at. I mean, the fact that it is still a topic – a topic that's possibly is arguably the most important issue we have to consider as a civilization, that's still something that's subject to taboo, ridicule, truth embargoes, you know, all of these claims, there is no proof, all of the sort of mythologies that we're telling ourselves about who we are, what our place is in the cosmos, and whether or not we're entirely alone. There's a huge swath of humanity that believes we're alone. And the other large swath of humanity, you know, have various religious and spiritual traditions that aren't aligned around, you know, the fundamental concepts of, say, love and altruism and abundance and all of the stuff that will take us to where we need to go. So I think about it in terms of, you know, what's true north? And I feel like our galactic neighbors have figured a lot of that out. And that's a big part of what's going to lead to our transformation is that sort of revolution of mind and the philosophies that go along with it.
You know, you bring a very good point up there. And I think there are a lot of people that just aren't ready yet. They're just not ready for this information yet. And I do my show for the people that are ready. And I feel strongly about not pushing it on those that aren't ready. What are your thoughts on that?
Well,
what are you, thinking, what, sorry, Lisa, go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm just thinking about it because I get that, you know, I get that humanity doesn't appear to be ready, but we're at a time in our history. We have no choice. I mean, between climate change and war and all of the intractable problems, all of the tens of thousands of people who die every day from preventable diseases and malnourishment and lack of water and, you know, all of these kinds of things. You know, I think of this very much as an intervention, and that is absolutely what we need at this time.
See, I don't
but who's to say we're not ready. Why do you feel that way?
Well, this has been, I'll give you a perfect example. My wife, she's not ready for this information.
Maybe she just has no interest in it. Is that possible?
Well, a lot of people in my family and my friends are not ready for this information, and it's not my role to push it on them, and especially if they have no interest yet in this information.
But the reason they have, right, no, I get that. I respect what you're saying because, you know, my wife as well, it's not that she doesn't she doesn't have interest because she just doesn't care, but she thinks that there's life out there. Mm-hmm. So that's what I mean, that there's people on the fence about it, right? But the reason they don't care is because they don't realize what a disclosure announcement can do.
Well, they've been told not to care.
Well, that's my point, is that the media is complicit in why everyone doesn't care. Now, some of us have risen above that and said, screw the media. I mean, there's just too much evidence out there that proves that this is real. But those people that we can say, hey, Mark, your wife or my wife or anybody's sibling, right, or significant right. other, if they're – there's a lot of them out there, and I talk to them where they're like, all right, Russ, you know what? So what? So what? Aliens are out there. Big deal. What does that mean? That's the question, right? Why does disclosure matter? And let's just say that disclosure is out there. The government did it, or they didn't do it. We just disclose ourselves. Why does disclosure matter is the important question. What can it do to our souls, to our consciousness, to our evolutionary process that would bring about social, positivity and make us like a unified species, as Reagan once talked about in his 87 speech to the UN. I wonder what would happen if we were faced from an outside alien threat, if we would just put all of our differences aside. We're all just human. Forget about Jews, Christians, Muslims. It doesn't matter. We're all just a human species. And that is one of the reasons why disclosure matters. And to Lisa's point, these people don't care because they were told not to care. They were always told about little green men coming from Mars and being zapped around and, oh, there's going to be why don't UFOs land on the White House lawn? I mean, that's not how it works. And I think we agree on that. You know, you look at Star Trek's Prime Directive. The ETs don't want to interfere with us in this open contact realm until, us children can just get it right. I agree with you on that. But the only way that we're going to get that right is if the people that report on this, that hold this close to their chest, just say, we lied. We're sorry. And the only way that's ever going to happen is if the freaking media that represents this world in all countries gets up off their keister, starts talking about this, instead of talking about Kim Kardashian and Hayden Panettiere and the Oscars. I mean, who cares? The point is, it's all distractions. So if we can just nudge them, want to talk about it, then we could have some kind of paradigm shift. And I know Steve's been fighting for it. Dr. Greer's been fighting for it. Everyone's coming at this from different angles. And that's another issue, because everybody's disparate and siloed in nature. And so one of the things we're trying to do, and I'm sorry I'm speaking very passionately, I'm very passionate about this, is that we want to unify all of these UFO groups to just stand under one umbrella and say we all want the same thing. We all just want this planet to be where it needs to be. And the only way that in my eyes, that's really going to change is if the people that represent us, unfortunately, just that's the way it is, if they just start being transparent and
so
start telling the truth.
Who has the responsibility for the change in society? Is it you and I, or is it our government?
It's a good question. I think that the change in society comes from the public, and it comes from the media. It doesn't have to come from our government. I agree with you. It has to be driven by the public, by us, by me and you and by Joe Smith walking down the street in Kentucky somewhere. But the only way that Joe Smith is going to know anything or have an inkling about this is people like the disclosure activists. Visit our website, sign the petition, have your voice heard. Once that is done and the public's drive is in overdrive, then the people that report on stories can actually go in. And again, that's why every radio show I ever go on, Mark, ever, whether pre-recorded or live, I always open up, and I didn't get a chance to do it now, but I always open up with this quote from James Fox: the public, our constituents, need to push this issue. And that's the only way an official acknowledgement is going to happen. I'm not talking about us already having disclosure for me, you and Lisa and some other people out there. I'm talking about an official government acknowledgement. That has
and
to come
what you
from
said, what you said, Mark, whose responsibility is it to change our world, right? You know, it's a combination. It's everyone's responsibility, but so many people are disempowered. And, you know, don't understand that they have the ability to work on their individual consciousness, and that, you know, we become greater than the sum of our parts, and that, you know, yes, we have, you know, neighbors who are interested in our development and who believe that it's in part their responsibility to help us get to where we need to get, because in a lot of cases, they themselves benefited from mentorship or guidance from civilizations that, you know, had made it through this particular horrible phase. So, you know, it's about our collective consciousness, and that's not limited to just this planet.
Would you agree then that the spiritual and the social information are what is going to change society for the better rather than just technology?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And if you have a chance to take a look, if you look at our website, we've got a bunch of links into the evidence and why disclosure matters. We have a publication on a platform called Medium. And there, gosh, there's are probably 20, 25 articles on there at this point that are all about, you know, why disclosure matters, you know, what is the actual, you know, scientific evidence, you know, how does ET get here, you know, in a lot of cases they're actually extra-dimensional in nature or traveling interdimensionally, you know, they're not conventionally extraterrestrial, which means that a lot of those beings are beings from what we might traditionally call the spirit realms. So we absolutely have to be able to connect these dots, you know, so that, you know, people begin, you know, to understand that, you know, just because our chemical rockets can't get very far, it doesn't mean that, you know, ETs or extra dimensionals can't get to us, you know, and they have various ways of interacting with species that are in development and are at our current state of development. And they've been involved now for a long time in an awareness building campaign. You know, there are something like 10,000 crop formations that have been created around the world in the last decade or two. And, you know, that's one huge body of evidence, for instance, that isn't well understood, you know. And so I think this is where Russell and I sort of come together. You know, we understand, you know, the power of media and mass media in particular, in informing people and being an authority about what is true or supposedly true in the world. And we need those voices so that people go diving into the rabbit holes themselves and figure out, oh my God, I can contribute to this by improving my individual consciousness, and that's my responsibility, and that will take us to where we need to go.
And we can do that through radio shows like this. We don't really need permission from the government to do that, do we?
No, but you're in underground or alternative media. I mean, that the world that we occupy where this stuff is, you know, widely understood and widely known. And, you know, it is sort of an echo chamber. You know, somebody has to be looking for exopolitics and know what exopolitics means in order to happen upon radio show.
And so, I think to echo that thought, Lisa, it just, excuse me for a second, is you're right. You know, we're, you know, Mark and Laurie and Fenton and everyone out there is in the alternative media, and that's great. You know, we all listen to that stuff. But could you imagine the golden nugget of someone like myself, Mark or Stephen Bassett, appearing on Good Morning America and talking about that, and that's broadcast nationally syndicated to the whole country? I mean, that's the kind of things that we're looking for. Not so much appealing to the people that already are convinced about this, right? What I think what should happen is there's clearly in this country at least a million people that are convinced of an ET presence. And I can guarantee you that if those 1 million people happen to sign a petition, which has never been done before, then we'd have a paradigm shift. I also happen to agree that if there
How would we have a paradigm shift?
Because those million think the most they garnered were about 28,000 signatures, right? Just enough for the government to lie officially and say there's never been any kind of evidence. But with everything that's been happening, and Trump actually alluding to the truth embargo, and you happen to be a Trump supporter, it sounds like, so you would align with this, where he says we want to unlock the mysteries of space, we want to rid the Earth of diseases, and we want to invest in the technologies and industries of tomorrow. That's a nod to exactly what the truth embargo is. And so things have changed. So if you got a million people, forget 28,000, but you have the voice of a million people on a petition that says you need to tell the truth, it would lead to some type of paradigm shift.
Let's talk about who may have the knowledge of the truth. Wouldn't you agree that this has gone into what we were talking about earlier, the special access programs, where you have the crossover between the military and the military-industrial complex, you know, places like, you know, Lockheed Martin and Boeing, and in special little groups, you might have ex-military people working at these corporations. So how would you go to somebody at Lockheed Martin who's working on a top secret program that is one of the most guarded military secrets that we have? How could he disclose that and just disclose part of it?
Well, that's just the thing. You don't go to Lockheed Martin. The guy from Lockheed Martin is coming to us.
Doesn't matter. I mean, okay, he comes to us. He still can't give you military secrets.
He's not giving military secrets, so to speak. What he's doing is, again, this goes back to your question, who holds that knowledge? The people that hold that knowledge are the same people whose names leaked out into WikiLeaks. Those same people to get that out into the public domain. So the point is that DeLong approached this guy, Rob Weiss, who's the head of Area 51 programs for Lockheed Martin Skunk Works, and pitched this whole idea to this team of advisors that was given to him by the guy that runs Wright-Patterson Air Force Base Research Laboratory. And so those people, those are the men, and let's just say there are some women involved in that too, because I don't know all the advisors, but those are the people that hold those secrets. Because the UFO phenomenon is a very compartmentalized phenomenon, right? Everybody has different bits and pieces. No one has the whole thing. But there are people, let's just call them a Majestic 12 for lack of better terms for an organization, that do have knowledge of exactly what's going on. And this guy at Lockheed Martin Skunk Works, Rob Weiss, who is in charge of that stuff, is part of this advisory group that is giving DeLong information. Now, I can guarantee you they're not giving DeLong all of the information. But what they are doing is at least they're starting to acknowledge the secret space program, which we all know about, the TR-3B, Manta, the Black Triangles. See, these are things that the public, and I'm talking about people in the world, have no idea about. They think it's all bupkis. It's all nonsense.
Make such a good point. Let me interrupt there really quickly. I think it's notable to consider why did they select Tom DeLong to work with. And the reason they selected Tom DeLong is because he's a pop culture icon. If you want to get something out of the underground, right, out of preaching to the converted, the best way to do it is to find yourself a conduit that already has an enormous audience. And can speak to a particular generation or multiple generations of people who may not be as familiar with this stuff. And he speaks directly to the millennial audience, which is the audience that generations and they're a force to be reckoned with, you know, that particular generation. And that's selected DeLong.
Yeah, I think you're right, Lisa. I think the Pentagon has finally figured out how to disseminate some of the information that they've always wanted to, but they've got caught themselves in a lie after a lie after a lie. They just continue to lie. But now it seems as if they've been given some kind of opening where this guy, Tom, I mean, Mark, are you familiar with Tom DeLong? I mean, did you listen to Blink 182?
Oh, is this pop culture singer guy now that's become UFO expert?
Yeah. So
this is horrific. This is horrible. This is just ghastly. I mean, this kind of stuff just makes me bilious. I mean, I cannot tell you how horrible this kind of thing is because, guys, this isn't about preaching to the choir. No. The problem is that the vast majority of the people in the UFO exopolitical community are still in a state of unknowing. That's what the problem is. We don't need the government to come in and tell us things. What we need to learn about, again, are the universal laws, the creational natural laws. I mean, things like the law of harmony, the law of love, the law of reincarnation. These are what's going to heal our destroyed society. We don't need technologies to be revealed. I mean, eventually, when we get enough spiritual background, I think that would be a good thing. But we don't know who we are. We don't know where we come from. Those are the kinds of things that we need to learn. And that information is out there.
Right. So basically what you're saying is, from what I'm gathering, and I don't mean any disrespect, I just want to make sure I understand this, is what you're saying is, UFO community aside, and bringing the general public into this, if a president and the prime minister and different leaders got together, it could be one day, you know, in succession, one day after the other, and they got on TV and they made a formal acknowledgement of the ET presence, you would say, to hell with it, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter for the general public. It's not going to do anything.
It's not going to do anything.
Gotcha. Okay. That's fair.
It's not going to do anything. People have to come to this realization themselves. And this has to occur internally, privately. That's where you discern the truth, within yourself. You decide for yourself what is true and real to you. And you have to become an independent thinker. See, this is the problem. We are not independent thinkers anymore. The only way to evolve your consciousness is to be an independent thinker. We are dependent on our governments, on our leaders, to do our thinking for us. This is what's wrong with our society. You know,
we've been saying the exact, that's exactly what we're saying. You know, and can people embrace that lifestyle you're talking about if they don't even know it exists?
If they're ready for it, they will go search for it. And they will find it. Now, you and I, people like us, we're doing these radio programs, which is a good thing. So the people that are ready can come to it. You don't need to be the person like that is the holy roller that goes from door to door knocking on people's doors. That is not the way the information gets out.
Yeah, but in all honesty, I don't think the general public are listening to these underground radio shows.
No, they're not.
Right.
And
so,
the reason they're not is because they're not ready yet.
And they're not ready because made them not ready.
No.
So
they're not responsible yet. They haven't accepted the responsibility yet. You have accepted the responsibility. You two are activists. You're trying to make a difference. You're trying to improve the world. The people that aren't interested in this information are not ready for it.
I hear what you're saying, and I respectfully disagree, which is fine.
I have an expression. I say there are a whole bunch of people who are an epiphany away from being ready. I mean, I believe that wholeheartedly.
How close are they?
An epiphany away.
They could be.
And the epiphany, I think, is very much our place in the cosmos. You know, once that information is widespread and widely understood, and you know we've been getting this, you know, drip, drip, drip of disclosure from, you know, NASA and other organizations who have gotten a lot closer to admitting that there's other life in the cosmos than they ever had before.
See, what I'm trying to say is you and I and Russell are the responsible people to get this information out, not the government. We have to be responsible for what we think, for what we say, and what we do. It's not the government. The government will follow us.
But the
government,
yes,
are our employees. They work for us. You,
yes,
see, we're looking at the whole thing backwards.
No, I think we're actually on the same page here.
Let me just say this, right? So I agree with you that the three of us and multiple other people out there have to be the ones that are disseminating this information, which is what we're doing. We agree with that. And then you say people have to find themselves, right? And people might be an epiphany away. That takes a long time. We don't have a long time. Things can get worse. Nuclear war can happen, right? If a disclosure message gets out there, and let's say someone that is living in New York or Ohio actually doesn't ever listen to the show and happens to finally come in and listen to the show and they say, you know what? This really does sound pretty fascinating. I'm going to look into this. There's a lot of evidence, Mark, out there that could take a lifetime for them to get convinced about it.
It will.
We don't have a lifetime. We don't have that. This Earth would get destroyed faster than they can ingest that information. So my point is that if we, and unfortunately the way we work, the way this society works, we're going to play by the rules. I'm not going to do anything illegal. I'm not an anarchist. I'm not going to rise up against the government because I don't want to get killed. So my point is that if we can at least educate the uneducated that this is a real thing, and then the media can get involved in that, mainstream media. I'm talking.
I mean, the mainstream media is almost dead. Come on.
Well, they yes and no.
CNN, still, the Clinton News Network. Come on.
Well, I like to refer to them all as the FNN, the fake news network. Come on. But and we could certainly agree on that. But unfortunately, it's still the way it is. And don't get me wrong, alternative media like Vice and all those.
Breitbart.
They're all coming up for sure. They're all gaining notoriety. They're all gaining popularity. Yeah, Drudge for sure.
I even like Alex Jones for some things.
I'm not going to touch Alex Jones right
okay,
now.
Okay, but, okay, fine.
But I, you know, Alex Jones can definitely rectify his situation. I think he goes a little bit overboard, but I'm not going to touch that with a 60-foot pole right now. My point is that I think we're all on the same page. Honestly, I think we're all saying the same thing. I think we're just looking at it from a sense that society will change, and we want it to change. But it's going to take a long time. And in that long time, we can have another bullshit war go down where the Earth does get a little bit hot. And we don't want that. And something tells me that possibly the ETs may not want that, because there have been instances of them shutting down nuclear silos. But if we can – I can tell you right now that just by talking about this, the hair raises on my arm. That's that spiritual sense of myself. If we can show the rest of the world through our grassroots efforts that, guys, this is a serious, serious thing, and we can have the backing of some serious journalists in this, and that can create a scenario where the governments finally tell the truth, that by the government telling the truth, that is a very, very big thing, especially coming from a government that has always lied. Now, again, you could say they can twist the truth. I don't really care from here to Shinola how they twist the truth. I just need them, or not me, we just want them to acknowledge to the uneducated that this is all real. And once they do that, I do believe firmly that the soul in those people's bodies and the hair on their arms will stand up on their body. And
but
they
Russell,
will.
But it is very much just. That is one point of pressure that we're working on. You know,
well, of course.
I used to work for Amazon. Jeff Bezos always said, work backwards, right? So figure out, you know, what the ultimate goal is, and then figure out how to work backwards from there. And as far as I see it, we've got a whole bunch of different things going on. And, you know, I think, you know, our interest in government disclosure might be a bit of a red herring, because that's just part of what we're trying to do. You know, there is a much larger educational effort underway. We're trying to do a lot of things to make this content more sort of palatable and accessible to populations of people, you know, who aren't as deep in baseball, as you might say, you know, who don't have a library of 400 books on the topic, you know, and that sort of thing. So we're just trying to kind of condense it that little bit more. And, you know, we've been lucky, actually, that we've had shows like Ancient Aliens on, you know, now for however long, well over a decade, you know, that's covered the gamut of these sorts of issues. And it's gone a long way towards raising awareness and creating what you might call that opening for people, you know, to start doing this work themselves once they realize that that's their salvation. They are their savior, you know?
I like that. It's
paradigm shift.
I like that. Very well said.
Thank you.
This is why I have Lisa part of the team. Listen, Mark, I do want to say this because I have to jump. I know we were supposed to be scheduled for an hour, and it's been a wonderful discussion that we've gone over to an hour and a half. At the end of the day, I think we all agree. I think we all just need to find the love and the energy and the consciousness. We're trying very hard to do it. Like I said, Steve is going to Europe, and the disclosure activists are filling that void. You know, hopefully you can help at some point down the line with radio shows like this. And I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, even though we respectfully might disagree on some things, although I think we do agree, I just want to say thank you for allowing Lisa and I to come on the show. I had a wonderful time.
Well, I did too, and I appreciate the exchange. And we can get into this topic a little deeper if you'd like to sometime in the future.
We would love to.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, right now, apparently, President Trump is talking about plans for space. So, you know, this changes at minute by minute. So
it sure does, doesn't it?
Yeah. So nice to meet you, Mark.
All right, guys. Have a great evening.
You too, okay. Mark. Take care now.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.